Thank you. this all happened, this is all I've had to tell you, but I would be willing to suggest to you that this was probably 7 days before he acted on what he saw. He sends a person out to find her, and he brings her back to David's bed, and what David has cultivated in his heart and tongue makes its way to the surface. And the brokenness of fathers is desperate, and relationships are ruined, and people die. A son loses his life, and a father loses his son. Absalom cultivates in his heart thoughts of anger, murder, bitterness towards his father. Absalom is outraged at the fact that David did nothing to avenge Tamar's rape. And over time, the tension grows and grows and grows until he, now the son of the king, is out for the king's blood. And what he has cultivated inside his heart has now made its way to the surface. And the brokenness that follows is awful in this family. Relationships are ruined. Many people die. Absalom's life is lost. David loses yet another son. And this is still true today. Much of what we see happening in the world around us is nothing more than what we as people cultivate in our hearts. So the question of how is it possible for a happily married man who is married to a beautiful woman to struggle with his pornography is possible because in the heart of that man, he cultivates lust, he cultivates desire, he thinks and watches and he plays out in his mind all kinds of different things every time. It always comes to the surface. Going back for more or worse, creating all kinds of issues with his bride. And the brokenness in his present is very difficult to navigate. For women who are married to handsome men who have great fathers, great husbands, to get involved with other men, it's possible to use the heart of that woman. She cultivates romance for said men. Thinks about it, places herself in close proximity, and in time, what is cultivated in the heart always will come to the surface. Prime ministers who have been elected to govern honestly find themselves in some heated mind, violating basic ethical principles as possible because they are not prime minister. They cultivate his pride and power and arrogance. And it always comes to the surface. You might be thinking that I have a very negative view or a dark view of humans. That we are simply nothing more than evil beings, that we will respond to all of this darkness that's at play in our hearts. Well, that's what I know. And I believe it's not because I'm down or because I don't love people, because I actually love people. But it's because I believe Jesus' words as he speaks to the condition of the human heart. Human history has proven Jesus' words to time and time again, where Jesus says it's from the heart. This is what creates murder and lust and idolatry and anger. From the heart we move and act and breathe. Even our most moderate of Christians reveals Jesus' words to be true. We as Western people, it is bizarre / hilarious that we think we are a devout people. That we are sophisticated, we are highly educated, that somehow we are better than the ones who have come before us, whether it is our own parents or generations from different places around the world. Do you know the top 10 news stories of 2017 were for CTV News? I'm going to go through them for you. This is how developed we are as people. The genocide of Myanmar that's happening right now. Where Buddhist monks are killing by the thousands Muslims. That was number 10. Number 9 is just the ongoing global refugee crisis that's just present all over the world. And in my own pride, I'm like, oh yeah, of course, like, that's who's there. This isn't us. And I got to number 8. CCD has dubbed 2017 as the year of hate. Since the new president of the United States has come into office, the general rule across the country is that every jurisdiction has seen a jump of 20% in hate crimes in all of the different districts that are present in police stations around the country. The mass shootings, in both frequency and scale, just continue to it's almost like there's a culture of, well, I can do better than that. And it's just worse, and it's worse, and it's worse. In our own country, the next time I go on it, it's just because of sexual harassment stories, which it's almost like every time you turn on the news, another high-profile male has lost their job because of inappropriate words or actions done towards women that they have positions of power over. Every single one of TCV's top 10 news stories in 2017 is nothing more than evil that's been cultivated in hearts that has been made to the surface. In fact, you know what the only good news story was for TCV News? Is a kid that's 150 years old. Is that of all the 10 things they highlighted, this was the only one that was like a good news story. That a country managed to get 150 years under its belt. Now, we can get into a space of one billion things that we've done about humanity. But what I love about the words of God through the scriptures to us, we're told that there's something else available to us, that there's a different way that we can go about living and experiencing life in all kinds of ways. In chapter 12 of the story, the author highlights Psalm 32. And in Psalm 32, there's a metaphor for these particular issues, these things that we cultivate in our heart that are God, that in time will make their way to the surface, that creates brokenness in all of our lives. I'm going to throw up different portions of Psalm 32 in the scripture. I'll start with this particular verse that's up there. I'm going to read to you. When I keep silent, my bones waste away, and my groaning are all dead long. And I've highlighted the whole keep silence. This is the cultivating evil in the heart. When I do nothing about the ugly that's growing inside my heart, my bones, my inner life waste away. If I stay silent about anger and bitterness, rage and lust and greed and murderous thoughts and jealousy and revenge, cheating, pride, malice, unforgiveness, worry, and we could go on for, I suspect, a few more minutes, highlighting some of the inner qualities that we are all struggling with. If we just stay silent about these things, these will just grow and grow and grow and grow. And all the while it's growing, we are playing with worse. That these things are actually here, that this event has caused this kind of malice in my heart, because I know that I should not carry these feelings around. And then out of nowhere, because it remains silent, because it never addressed the issue, that which we have been able to keep quiet, just from quietly going on the inside, makes it to the surface. And everybody that's connected to you sees it, experiences brokenness and one another, and things just waste away. When we go to verses 5 and 6, we'll put these up on the screen. This is the spiritual discipline, when done in faith, breaks this cycle of evil that's cultivated in the quietness of our hearts. Psalm 32, verses 5 and 6. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. What I love about God's word, Jesus' life, is that he gives us clear instruction of what we are to do by faith, so that he then can do the great work of restoring our heart to spaces that he longs for to be. He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't leave us with a roadmap. He doesn't leave us with no manual of how to figure out how we live life with these realities going on inside of our hearts. To break the cultivation of sinful thoughts that take place inside all our hearts. Chapter 2. I acknowledge my sin. I will confess it. First to the Lord, and then get into other passages of Scripture. Then our sins, one to another, we confess our sins. Genesis chapter 16. I am 39 and I turn 40 in 4 months. The greatest faith formation moments in my life have always come when I practice this. Always come when I practice this. If there's something growing between me and one to another to the Lord, we go forward in our life of faith. It's amazing what happens. There would be feeling that follows of being forgiven for your guilt is remarkable. It's remarkable. That which I've stayed around for a week or for a month and finally saved, it makes me think, oh, more. Why do you say the sinner? You know that the sin is like the way of the world is gone, things are restored, there's a peace that returns, that's beautiful and spectacular. The way to fix this is to confess and acknowledge. He was one step further. And then he said, if all our life was quietly buried deep down inside our hearts, were thoughts and feelings that we are not proud of, and that we are ashamed of, and we shouldn't walk in these ways. And he said, only confess it. To experience that, all that it was, that would be frustrating. To be wrong, say I'm wrong, seek forgiveness, be offered forgiveness, and then next Friday, kind of begin again, cultivating things in the heart, that I'm going to do the same thing over and over again. Well, some sort of thing, the offer of this one shows us that something else can be actually cultivated in our hearts. We'll put it up on the screen. Verses 7 and 8. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Here's verse 8. I will, this is God speaking, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. That thing that we can actually cultivate in our heart that's different from the dark spaces that we tend to cultivate are in fact God's ways, God's instruction, God's design for our life in them. And when we cultivate these things in our hearts, when they make their way to the surface, it's life for you and for those around you. If you think about this, parents, if you've ever experienced your child being bullied by someone on the bus, or someone playing around with someone in the hockey dressing room, or whatever it might be, if they're walking through that for a moment of injustice, what is normally cultivated in the heart of that parent is, give me a name. Who is it? Where makes a phone call to set this up now? Like that seems to be where we go. We want to defend, we want to fight, and we normally will meet the violence that has come to us with another kind of violence. Revenge is a call. Mad as a teacher, so they didn't deal with it rightly. Or call the principal, and if we're not careful, we can find ourselves yelling at the principal. In front of our children who are watching us yell at the principal. Or the worst form is when we confront the other parents in our anger. Your kid! Stupid kid! We call names, and it gets just awful from there. But other guys, if we are cultivating in our hearts God's ways, God's instruction on this point, and you're like, well, where is all of this? When someone slaps you on the cheek, you return the other cheek. When someone forces you to carry their back for a while, you carry it back for a while. If we're cultivating Jesus' words of instruction on how we respond to injustice, your response will be very different. You know, as Christ teaches us and reveals through his life, you will expose and shame the one committing that injustice to your children. And you will be sorry inside your heart. Your kids will be sorry inside your hearts. It's a completely different kind of cultivation that favorite part of Psalm 32 is the very last section, which is, I will counsel or instruct you with my loving eye on you. My favorite moments as a dad are when my kids come to me, particularly my son, after they have failed at trying to do something on their own, and they may ask, can you help me do this? Even like a father loves trial, he loves to bring his sons up and help him do it specifically. I wonder what happens to the spirit when he loves this. And out where we currently live, it's kind of windy all the time. And there'll be days where you know about a fucking slide back there. And I will watch what is being cultivated in his heart. And it's cultivated very fast of frustration and anger because he can't get started because the wind is just so strong. He'll hit the wood and he'll throw the axe around and all these things are like, there it is. Jesus' words ran through the left hand heart of anger and now from the heart comes the fear of him and the outside. He will then come in. And I'll ask him, and I always just lay around the arms of that. I'm like, why so mad? And how exactly that he's mad? Because he gets tired of it. And he'll explain why he's so frustrated. You know, how can you work? If you can't just start trying, imagine what happens to you when something really bad happens to you as you grow older. And he'll send a story, and there we go. And I'll use him as a partner too, and I will show him the ways he should go to have a fire going on maybe every 2 minutes, the fire's going, he needs to start each other. And his whole thing is this image of, like, while the loving eye is on me, God longs to walk with and instruct me in the ways we should go. The vast majority of the trials of David with Kings, chapter 12, 1 Kings, the vast majority of the trials that he deals with is a result of nothing more than what he quietly cultivates in his heart, or what someone else is cultivating in their heart towards him. And we read about it because that which was done quietly has been given his way to the surface. And the scriptures are recording these moments of what has come to the surface, what has come to the surface that is broken and everywhere. May we take the words of God in the Psalm 32 very serious so that we might live well. When Jesus says that the Lord comes to you saying, I'm coming to restore, I've come to tell you to experience life like to its full. That life which is experienced in full is only going to be experienced when the follower of Christ cultivates his words in their heart. So that those things make their way to the surface in all the nuances, all the spaces that we'll find ourselves in, it actually is life. Versus moments